The University of Kansas Health System is proud to be the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Current. From youth athletes to the pros, we put player care first to turn their dreams into reality. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/kccurrent.
He didn't invent the quarterback.
How are you doing?
But he did invent quarterback tears.
Tears.
Here's our NFL insider, Mike Sando of The Athletic, on the program.
Yes, indeed. We talked to Mike Sando, our fine NFL insider. He's brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks. TwinPeaksRestaurant.com, three locations around the metro. They're there in Olathe, Independence, and in the Northland at the Boardwalk Shops. That is where you can find the great Twin Peaks. That made-from-scratch menu, 29-degree man-sized draft beer. If it's fight time, MMA, boxing, they're always on. They are your fight headquarters. Of course, great cocktails served over ice balls. Curtis, you know about that. Huge selection of bourbons to choose from. Tequila, absolutely great tequila selection as well. And, of course, like I said, 29-degree man-sized draft beer. You want a great place to watch some college basketball, NBA hoops, you name it. It is absolutely a great spot for you to go enjoy a wonderful time watching a game or hanging out. Grab you some lunch, dinner, happy hour, always at Twin Peaks. Let's welcome our NFL insider, Mike Sando from The Athletic. He's with us here in the program. Mike, how are you, sir?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm great. I'm at a place called Tickets for Less. TicketsForLess.com is where you can find them online. No added fees, Mike, ever. No per-ticket fees added on with TicketsForLess.com. And they have 10% off on AFC Championship game tickets when you use the promo code 810AFC, 810AFC. It's good for their VIP tailgate, all you can eat and drink. Get 10% off on that. And they got a tent. It'll be warmed up on a cold day. Is there a better deal than a promo code giving you 10% off on a locally owned and operated company and going to see the Chiefs and Bengals in the AFC Championship game? I ask you, is there anything better than that?
No. Mike? Well, I'm going to tell you right now. So I was in high school when the Kansas City Kings moved to Sacramento. I was growing up in Sacramento, and when Michael Jordan came to town, so I would have been a teenager, you know, high school age. We waited in line outside the arena overnight. I can't believe my parents allowed that, but me and a couple friends, you know, throwing frisbees and footballs around, and we got tickets to see Michael Jordan. We actually, when he got off the bus and came into the arena, I can't believe, I don't remember this vividly. My friend insists that we actually shook hands with him as they got off the bus. So a little bit, I think you're better off going with your local company to get your tickets than having your kids wait outside of the arena to see the big game. So
you know, Mike, you may have to charge Tickets for Less a fee for their new marketing slogan. Tickets for Less, never requiring you to have your children wait outside overnight. That's a good one. I like that one. I think that's great.
Yeah, we made it. The things we did as kids, but, you know, I don't know how we're here. But
oh, God, I know. It was a different time. Things I was able to do that I would never let my kids do now. It's a piece of work, to say the least. All right, let's talk a little bit about what we've got going on. Before we get to the games, I want to talk about the NFL Coach of the Year finalists. Where do you sit on the NFL Coach of the Year? I'm always irked. Brian Daboll did a fine job. Who else? Doug Peterson did a fine job. And actually, I'm a little more on board with Doug Peterson. He's won a championship. But, like, it's so often it goes, for whatever coach, just his team had a better record than I thought they would, he's the coach of the year. Like, Nick Sirianni, no problem. Kyle Shanahan, no problem. But, I mean, Andy Reid lost Tyreek Hill, and everybody said their streak of winning the AFC West was over. All they did was dominate even more demonstratively, still remain the number one offense in football. They're hosting the AFC Championship game again, and he's not on that list. I mean, is that a flaw in the system?
Well, I used to do an occasional column to where, like, how many wins does the great coach need to get win coach of the year? And so Belichick needed 14 wins or more in the 16-game season era to get it. He'd be undefeated or whatever. But then when Tom Brady left, he's struggling around to be above 500. And obviously Andy Reid is a great coach, but I think a lot of that credit is going to the quarterback too, right? That's a part of that equation. And you also, you're right, the expectation game is a huge part of it. So for me, I do have a vote, and I'll incur your wrath because I do think the expectation game is part of it. To me, Daboll coming in with what he had, and then they didn't have resources. They didn't go out and spend a bunch. Like the Jaguars came in and basically removed a really bad coach and then spent on everything. All these receivers, Christian Kirk, $18 million or whatever. They all just played the hand they were dealt and had him ready to go week one. He didn't need some scheme change in week six. It took him half the year to figure out that Justin Fields is a running quarterback. He had Daniel Jones. Now where people are like, geez, should they have picked up his option with Daniel Jones based on what you'd seen with him? So I had him. My second and third were, I think, Pete Carroll doing the same thing. Everyone's saying, you're getting rid of Russell Wilson. You're crazy. And then having him in the playoffs. And then Kyle Shanahan, to me, to be this spot of the year with Brock Purdy. If I had asked anyone who wasn't on a personnel staff somewhere or a diehard 49er fan who Brock Purdy even was, if you weren't from Iowa, a fan of him in college or something, you'd have no idea who he even is. And yet they're winning 10 in a row, whatever it is, 7 with this guy. Their offense is humming. To me, that they have talent, but that is really impressive. So, these are great ones. The great coaches with all the high track records compete against their own record.
There's no doubt, and I do certainly get your point about Brock Purdy and where what it means for him to get there. And I don't really have a major issue with Kyle Shanahan being on that list. He's proven it time and time again. But who the hell knew who the Cowboys backup? I'm sorry, I'd say his name, but I can't load anything on my computer because Apple sucks. If I could just pass that along to you here just briefly there. A little bit of, Cooper Rush. I was trying to look up the depth chart, but I can't get it to load. Cooper Rush. Who knew Cooper Rush? And, like, Mike McCarthy, because he's been, he's been painted as, like, a boob. He plays with backup quarterback for, what, 6-7 weeks? Then bad Dak Prescott.
And the playoffs. Yeah, he played with backup in the playoffs, too, didn't he?
Yeah. And yet, so, he's not there.
Yeah, but here's the deal. Now, Kyle has a lot more talent on my offense, but they're averaging 35 points a game with Brock Purdy. Mike McCarthy's saying, we're going to run the ball in every play, and we're going to play to our defense, and that's going to carry us with Cooper Rush, and that's fine. It's great. But that's a nice luxury to have on the flip side of that. Whereas I just think when you have Purdy and you don't change your offense and you average 35 points a game, do we think Purdy's amazing? That, to me, says there's something about what they're doing with the scheming, and they do have maybe the best running back in McCaffrey. Debo Samuel's good. Kittle's maybe the best tight end. So it's not like he's doing it with nothing, but that would be the case, I think, for him, as opposed to McCarthy, who did lean on his defense, but I don't think it was as impressive, and probably playing an easier schedule in that, just the way the NFC East lined up this season.
Yeah, I get it. It just, I'd love to see what the career records are of a lot of the guys that end up winning the award.
No doubt.
And where they go. It's
executive of the year, too. They're like fired a year later, That's the same deal.
Exactly. We're talking to Mike Sando from The Athletic as he joins us here in the program. All right, let's talk a little bit about the, different head coaching searches that are going on. Mm-hmm. Are we getting closer to getting one of these filled?
Well, Carolina announced today they've agreed to terms with Frank Reich, so that's one that's down. There's a lot of smoke around the Sean Payton stuff, a lot of agendas, it feels like to me. So I don't know where he's going to go. I mean, there's a lot of people in the league think he's going to end up in Dallas, whether that's next year or next week. I don't think we really know, but that's sort of a feeling out there. I saw Dan Quinn committed that he's coming back to Dallas. So that's interesting because Payton and Quinn were seen as Denver options. So we'll see now what happens there. It feels like a lot of these will come down next week, would be my guess. And there's some people involved in these games that can't be as involved in the search process till they get through this week. So it's been a slower process. I think that's what they wanted when they started making the requirements, a little bit more like you have to have, you have to follow the Rooney Rule with two interviews, or now Rooney Rule goes to coordinators with two interviews, those types of things. I have slowed it down, and to me that's probably better than everybody racing to get Matt Rule done because we just absolutely have to have him within the first 5 days.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. Is there any wild cards that are going to emerge out of this that that'll shock some people?
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's usually every year, late in the year, when I talk to people in the league and we kind of go through these lists, all right, who do you think is going to open? Because, you know, everyone's looking to see would there be an opportunity. We always say, okay, you know, there's going to be 4 to 6 this year, and then there's always one surprise. So, you know, you could look in past years, and we see this at the general manager spot, too. Someone will get fired after the draft, or Bruce Arians will step away, you know, in way after the process. Those types of things could happen. And, you know, the one that people have wondered about in that realm is Dallas. And Jerry Jones has committed to Mike McCarthy. I think, by and large, McCarthy deserves to stay there. But the whole Sean Payton thing is just weird enough that, you know, you wonder where he could go if – and people think that's where he'd want to be. Coach of the Cowboys, report directly to the owner, all those things. So we'll see. Maybe that's next year. Maybe it's never.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me, let's talk about the games that are at hand. Everybody in this town is looking at every video they can get of Patrick Mahomes just walking. You know,
love it.
How much is it infecting nationally to, you know, watching Patrick Mahomes take a step?
Well, I just wonder if this is like a big setup, you know, that Mahomes is going to be fine and just play great and they're going to beat the Bengals and he's going to be standing there talking to the interviewer after the game on the field with that little smile on his face, right? I felt like when he got hurt, I thought, dang it, they're not going to win the Super Bowl now. You know, that his ability to maneuver on top of everything else that he does, and he's just so skilled in the pocket, and then he can take off and run. He was making some unsustainable type, you know, the one-leg hoppers. I think that if you had to do that over a course of 2 games, I don't think you get it done, even this one game. I think if he's diminished, it does make it really hard. So I have initially leaned towards Cincinnati based off of that, but I don't put anything. I feel like it could be a sucker job, and the Chiefs are going to be just fine. You know, like nothing will surprise me with Mahomes.
Yeah, how much does his mobility? You know, how much of his value is based on his ability to make people miss in the pocket and getting out of the pocket?
I don't think a huge percentage of it is, but I think it's part of his superpowers. Right, it's part of it. He's a great pocket passer. He doesn't have to do that type of stuff, but I think he's much more difficult to defend when everything's on the table, just his full ability. There were plays in that game when he was injured where he actually hopped on the same foot twice in a row on a play. Well, you know, if a team goes into a game knowing that you're not as mobile, I think it makes the plan easier, doesn't it? I mean, you can do other things. During the game, you're not maybe as sure what's going on, but I think that component of it could, if he really is, you know, limited or gets it aggravated right away and is kind of limping, I think that does play into a good defense's hands with your rush plan and all of that and knowing maybe how long he isn't going to have for certain windows to open down the field, those sorts of things.
Yeah, the Bengals have done a nice job of dropping 7, dropping 8. They were one of the first teams to really do that and capitalize on trying to take away the big play over the top. And Patrick Mahomes has said, you know, they do a nice job of disguising their coverages and everything. What would you do if you were the Bengals defensive coordinator? Like you've dropped 7 with a spy, an 8th guy as a spy, and rushed 3 and been effective. Do you now go, maybe we get some heat on this guy, right? Like, you know, let's drop 7 and blitz from somewhere. Like, would you change what you do based upon his mobility if you were the Bengals?
I think you change within the game after you're for sure what you're going up against, right? You're kind of going in, you're not sure. It's kind of like how badly is this Cougar injured that I'm going to walk by, right? You know, you might kill you, might be injured. You got to be careful. I think you got to go into the game and you'll know quickly. Maybe they'll even know in warmups just watching them. I don't know, but I think you'll have a feel early and then you adjust off of that. I don't think you play with fire early and then he beats you for a big touchdown pass and the place is going nuts and, you know, you just played right into their hands and now there's energy and all of that. So you probably do your normal plan and then, you know, see what he can do.
One of our buddies, Eric Eager from Sumer Sports, formerly a Pro Football Focus, was sparring with another stat guy that we've talked to before and about, you know, that if Patrick Mahomes loses, he'll be the first quarterback ever to lose 3 home conference championship games.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you, an educated football man?
Yeah, nothing. Here's what it means. So he's been a starter for 5 years, and he's been in that game three times. And
that's five times.
Five times. I mean, he lost three times. So I don't have any problem with that. This isn't a situation. I got no issues with Mahomes having bad defining, you know, moments in big games. That's a bunch of bull. I mean, I just think he's in it every year. So some years you're in it and you don't even have the best team, right? Or your defense isn't very good. There's just, to me, there's nothing to pick apart on him. I don't see him wilting under the lights or anything like that. You're just, he's in the game every year. So, you know, that's how you lose some of them. You are. The other team's guys get there, and it takes everything being right. You know what I mean? It's like their best team gets there.
Yeah.
The team just get there every year.
Yeah, he's 9-3 as a playoff quarterback. He'd be 9-4.
Wow. Yeah, he's okay.
Trash. Like, throw him out. What are you thinking? Yeah. Trust me, we know here in Kansas City, I mean, you know, the Lamar Hunt Trophy never rested in Kansas City. You know, they hadn't been to an AFC Championship game since 1993. They dubbed that award, I think, sometime in the late 90s. They'd never even won the award. They hadn't even played for the trophy, the Lamar Hunt Trophy, until Patrick Mahomes engineered them to the AFC Championship game in 18, and now they played in the conference championship game five straight times. And they're only the third team to ever do that. Cowboys and Patriots are the other ones. I mean, listen, results matter. I think that's fair. I wouldn't hang it just around the quarterback. Is it more fair to hang it around the neck of Andy Reid with his, you know, I think we saw that Donovan McNabb had lost a couple of home ones, and, you know, is it more of an indicator of Andy Reid maybe having a flaw?
I don't think so at all. I mean, I just think that the sample sizes are so small in these situations. We're not talking, you don't get 150 games to look at it, right? I mean, was Dan Marino fatally flawed because they never got back to the Super Bowl or never won one? Of course not. Bill Walsh was trying to see if he could get Marino when he had Montana, right? Because, I mean, so I think a lot of those things are, I don't like a lot of those narratives, especially in such a team game as football. And there's, like I said, not that many games. I think Reed's amazing. So the other thing I was going to say is, Andy Reid's, is it 10 straight winning seasons in Kansas City?
Yeah, every season. He's only missed
the, so every season's a winning season. Yeah. So what was the state of the franchise when he got there?
Oh, it was, they had the number one overall pick. Yeah, it was awful.
Terrific. So they've had a winning record every year. And they've been a playoff team, and they probably got to a championship game. Was that Colts year? Did they get to the championship game with Alex Smith? Was that the
No. He came up short. He never got to the AFC championship game.
He never got a championship. But they were a playoff, probably won a playoff game before, right? Or they were a playoff team, and then he gets the top quarterback, who, by the way, wasn't the number one overall pick. There was some evaluation there. You think Andy Reid maybe had a role in that? It wasn't a sure bet at the time. And he's the best quarterback in the league. And every quarterback Reed has had, Donovan McNabb, Alex Smith, probably had their best years, right? To me, Andy Reid's just impeccable. He's also in the top five for wins.
Well, and listen, in 5 years with Patrick Mahomes, he's like I said, 9-3 in the playoffs, got a championship, got two conference championships. He's five straight conference championships. But with Alex Smith, to me, that's the – with Alex Smith, at 5 years, he had five winning seasons. He had four playoffs. He only won one playoff game. But, you know, that sounds a lot better than what I think the first 5 years after Tom Brady are going to look like with Bill Belichick and what the 5 years he had, I think it was five. Was it four in Cleveland or was it three in Cleveland? I think it was four in Cleveland, and then one with Bledsoe. His 5 years before Tom Brady, pale in comparison, right? So, like, that's the proof is in the pudding. But I can say all that. There is something to, you know, getting past that round, right? Like, I think Marty Schottenheimer had a problem, right? Like, he had an issue, and his issue was not valuing the quarterback enough and not, you know, being part of an equation to go get an even better quarterback. He wanted to just win it with his defense, and, you know, there was a flaw in the strategy he had. I guess, you know, this would be, I think it's even more competitive now. I guess the question would just be, is there a flaw in how Andy goes against it, or is he actually just a victim of his own success? He gets further than he should based upon the talent and then finally runs into another team that's a juggernaut. And so, you know, it's a problem. I'll feel a lot better if he wins, right, than a lot of this crap we don't talk about.
Yeah. What I think is, you know, the success they're having and the quarterback they have and the combination of everything, I think it, you do need a second Super Bowl to really make it be what it should be, right? If that's the only one they win, then that will feel like, ah, you know, we thought we were going to get more, which is a really high standard. A lot of franchises, you know, you'd be happy to get there. But I felt like this year was kind of looked like a little bit of a regroup year, right? Some other people went more all in, and they were getting rid of Tyreek Hill and doing some drafting, and here they are again. I think the team that's having the interesting conversations is Buffalo, because
yeah,
they're not
sure.
Even in this game, and they were 13 seconds away. They have to be wondering, as the team that's been held up as a model for how to do it and good defense and the whole thing, they're now having to watch this game. I think that would be really hard. I think where the Chiefs are, yes, very disappointing if they lose, but they're just going to probably be back in it next year.
Yeah, and their quarterback's cap number is going to go from $17 to $36 million. Similar with Dallas. Dallas has got a quarterback. His cap number is going to go from $19 to $49 million. And he didn't play very well most of the year. He finally played well in the game against the Bucs, but the rest of the time he didn't play very well. I mean, it's not the last hurrah for Buffalo. I mean, they should be able to keep this together, but they're really going to come back with just the same squad, right? Like they don't have the wiggle room to do a lot more to what this team is.
Yeah. So I think one of the things that really Cincinnati has done a great job of is signing some free agents over the recent years, you know, whether it's DJ Reader, they swung big with Trey Hendrickson was more money, but there's a number of people in their secondary throughout their team that were not big name free agents who've played really good for them, who played really well for them. And I think for a team like Dallas, a team like Buffalo, to me it's pretty clear that they need they need another weapon, right? Dak Prescott missed Amari Cooper, and for as good as Stephon Diggs is, they need another guy. They thought it would be Gabe Davis. So can they? You know, it's a bad year for free agency receivers. Is there a trade? Can they hit on somebody in the draft who's an immediate contributor? I think that's the types of things they need to do to add to what they have. You're right, without probably having it cost a lot. Because remember, Buffalo went a bunch of guaranteed money for 3 years on Von Miller, too. So they're, you know, they're mortgaged a little bit.
There's talk. Are you hearing that supposedly Sean Payton's asking for $25 million a year?
We're hearing so many things on Sean Payton. I mean, yes, we've heard that. We've heard he went on the Colin Cowherd show and said, yeah, I think, you know, it's been pretty much worked out. It'll be a mid to late first-round pick, you know, that it'll cost to get me. I don't know. There's been a lot of stuff out there. I was reading some of the reports coming out about him and what, you know, early on he was comfortable with the Denver leadership and the ownership. And then when he doesn't get it, he had a problem with one of the owners there. I mean, there's a lot of agenda-y type stuff out there surrounding him that I wonder how well it's playing with some of these teams. And that would be one of them, $25 million a year. I mean, why would that come out?
Teams
are putting that out?
Well, no, I think his agent's putting it out, and I think it's because he's got the Broncos on the hook and an owner that $25 million is like a quarter in our pockets.
Yeah.
And I think he's probably trying to gouge him, because I don't think he really – if he is, I don't think he really wants the job. But if he does get something that's like resets the coaching market, because I think Andy Reid is worth $25 million, to be honest with you, but in the grand scheme
someone
of things.
Someone else's money, yeah.
Yeah, of course, someone else's money. But if, you know, I think if Patrick Mahomes is worth 50, and I think he is, then the second most important thing is Andy Reid. He's worth at least half of what Patrick Mahomes is, and there's no cap on it. And that's why I'm wondering, we're watching college salaries explode. Like, listen, there are really good NFL coaches that are making, what, $4 million, $5 million, maybe $3 million?
Yeah.
And Curtis, help me out. Fat Face at Tennessee. God bless him. Josh Heupel just got $9 million a year because he kind of peed a drop this season.
I also love the fact that Fat Face at Tennessee, we both knew right away.
We
knew exactly
what I was talking about. I hope you get to interview him later, and then they can play that part about it, because you'll be like, oh, hey, coach, great to have you on here. Appreciate
you
coming on.
No, I will admit it, because the other thing I will say is I am also a Fat Face. So I consider us brethren in arms. And so I root for him.
But at least we had the good sense to grow beards and cover it up. Heupel's still also, going with the baby face.
When we do Zoom interviews, we also don't place the thing down low and then hover over it and look down to get the full fatness of our face. Like, you shoot high to low with a fat guy.
We've been fat longer than he has, so.
That's right. That's true. Listen, when I do my TV stuff, I try to get him to elevate that camera at 41 to, like, the ceiling. Like, shoot me from the ceiling. Like, I, you know, let's try to slim this here. Let's go. And then he's wearing bright orange. The guy's got no hope. He's got no hope to look good the way it's going. No, I'm a fan of Josh.
You're talking about the money, though. You're talking about the money of these coaches, right? And Andy Reid. That's where we were going.
Yes. And so my point. Right? So the next point is I want to go to Zach Taylor. If Zach Taylor wins this game and goes to back-to-back Super Bowls, are the Bengals so my point was if he gets, let's say he doesn't get 25, let's say he gets 17, 18, 19 million, whatever he gets, Zach Taylor, especially if he'd go to one and win one, he'd now have another appearance over what Sean Payton would have. Like, will the Bengals pay the going rate for a coach, or are we months away from Zach Taylor shooting his way out of Cincinnati?
Do you think there'd be a lot of other people who'd like to coach the Bengals? Do you think Zach Taylor, who was 4-19 before Joe Burrow got there, wants to coach the Bengals? I would think so. So, you know, he should get paid a lot of money, but I don't think they're going to go. Now, we'll see, but I don't know that they're going to go to $17 million a year for Zach Taylor. They're probably correct. They could probably find someone else to coach the team and do well.
I don't know. I mean, Bill Parcells went to the Super Bowl. Bill Parcells. No, I'm not talking about Andy Reid. I'm talking about Zach Taylor. Bill Parcells.
No, I know, but he's not Andy Reid.
Zach Taylor's not Andy Reid.
Not Andy Reid. I mean, he's not. He's not absolutely indispensable to what they're doing. Do you think that he is?
I think the scenario I painted, which is him winning this game and then going, you know, and maybe even winning the Super Bowl. Yeah, he's all caught up, and he's 4-0 against Andy in his tenure. Yeah, he's Andy Reid.
If I were the Bengals, I would say, hey, whatever you're making, you know, let's just say it's what do you think he's making? $5 million? I have no idea what the going rate is for him, what he got in it. Maybe it was a lower. But if they were to say we go to $10 million a year, do you think he walks away?
He's making $6 million. My buddy Dylan here, who is not working on an Apple computer that sucks, was able to Google that.
What are you telling? Apple computers are the best, man. I've got one right here. What's your problem with? What's going on? I think it's user error.
It's going to be a frisbee here pretty soon. it probably is user error. But yes, well, I digress.
You always notice when you get one of those kind of scam emails, like, hey, click on this link from your buddy, that it's always like the same demographic of people. Did you notice that? It's never some guy who's 25 years old. You ever notice that?
No. Okay. No. Anyway.
Apple products are great. Yes, anyway.
Listen, there are a lot of things about Apple I like, but never mind. I'm not going to go into
Don't get me started.
Just going to lash out because I can. I have a microphone, and they will listen to every word I have to say.
Absolutely, yeah. That company's trembling.
Yes.
That was well done, by the way.
Mike Sando is zinging me like it's nobody's business right now.
Very dry.
Our NFL insider from The Athletic does a fantastic job covering the NFL. Yeah, listen, you heard it here first. If Zach Taylor is talking about leaving, you know, the Bengals' cheapness, I think, has to rise up at some point. All right, how do you think this game plays out?
I am siding with the Bengals, but I'm feeling like I'm going to get burned on it. I've felt for a while, and I told you until that last week I came off of them because I felt like only because I felt like the dual road of Buffalo and Kansas City together would cause me to pick somebody else. Okay, but I think through a lot of the late of the season, I was kind of on Cincinnati. I'm a little worried for their offensive line. I think it's going to be a different track at Kansas City than it was at Buffalo, and I'm afraid there could be some pressure on Burrow, but I'm just feeling like with some question over if Mahomes is 100% and the fact that Cincinnati is a chip on your shoulder team as well, just like Kansas City is a lot of the time. And I think where Burrow's at, I think where Chase is at, they've shown some running game. They've been able to control the ball too, just like the Chiefs. I see it probably playing out similar to the games that they've played before, which means the Chiefs have a real chance to win it. But until they do, you know, maybe I'll lean a little bit towards the amazingly favored team. It's just amazing to me. I guess maybe I have to do that to keep the money balanced because people would be on Cincinnati as a dog. That's what I think.
The Chiefs are a one-point favorite now.
Oh, it switched over. Okay. Yeah. That shows you. Yeah.
It's 1 point favorite. Listen, it's a weird day. I mean, this morning it was moving that way.
Do you think the Chiefs win it?
The Chiefs are, well, first of all, the betting markets point me towards a lot of times where I'm going to pick. And, you know, when it went to -1, Kansas City -1, 79% of the money was on the Bengals. So that means either they're really, really afraid, and I know they got hit. When it went to 2.5, there's a big betting syndicate that put down a big bet on the Chiefs at +2.5. Right now it's gone all the way the other direction, which I don't know if they're worried about getting hit with some big bets. I don't know what it is. I got some friends that are big bettors, and we're all trying to get our arms around exactly what all these line moves and the way they're going based upon where the cash is and everything. And it's pretty bizarre. It's a bizarre situation. The best player in the game has a bum wheel. What is, we tried to quantify it, me and you, as to what it means, and we struggle to do it. You know, it's hard to figure out. So, it's difficult. All right, real quick, and the Eagles and Niners, how do you see that one?
I think the Eagles are probably going to win. I think they're a little bit stronger on the line on both sides, and so I do favor them. I think my fear for them a little bit is with Jalen Hurts running and those linebackers who hit on 49ers. Not everybody's linebackers hit like that. They're fast. I think they can get them on the ground. I think they could get some good hits on them, so that's a little bit of a concern, but I will lean towards the Eagles to win the game. And you know, I'm kind of still waiting for maybe on both of these quarterbacks, you know, somebody to put them in a hole and make them play a little bit more under duress. It hasn't happened, and that's to their credit because they've played good and played well on offense. But I think I lean a little bit towards the Eagles at home.
All right, Mike, I've barreled through our final four. I apologize, taking too much time. Whining about my first world problem of getting my computer to work. I appreciate your patience. Yeah. Don't know that I love you zinging me like that, but it was a good one, Mike. I got to give it to you. It was a strong one.
I get myself in trouble. I got in trouble in elementary school. I had to stand outside the classroom. You know, a couple of smart-ass remarks during the class. You know, I've got to rein it in, so... slap my hand.
You're the man, Mike. We love it.
My wife rolls her eyes all the time at this stuff, so you're not the only one.
No, and you're not the only one with the eye rolls either, my friend. You're the best, Mike. Thanks so much. Okay. We appreciate it. Alrighty. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, we'll see you.
All right, Mike Sand of The Athletic. Great stuff. Check out his work at The Athletic. They do a great job there, and he's worth the price of a subscription all by himself. We're at ticketsforless.com. They're worth it. I just had a buddy texting me. He got his Chiefs tickets at TicketsForLess. He said, great company. Great working with him. Got a text from a friend of mine who just bought his Chiefs tickets yesterday. You can buy yours today and use the promo code. It's 810AFC, 810AFC. That promo code is good until midnight tonight. You get 10% off your Chiefs and Bengals AFC Championship game tickets plus those VIP tailgates. Get on there right now. Use it if you're driving home. That's okay. You got plenty of time. You got till midnight tonight to apply the code 810AFC and save 10% on AFC Championship game tickets and VIP tailgate passes here at TicketsForLess.com.
Impress your friends. Amaze your coworkers. Make your family proud. Here's what you need to know.
I'ma tell you what you need to know. I'ma tell you what you need to hear. 'Cause the truth will be
All right, welcome back here to the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you as we broadcast live at one of the great spots in KC. Great Kansas City company. It's Tickets for Less. Ticketsforless.com is where you can find them online. Use that promo code. Listen, AFC Championship game is here. Take advantage of it. 810 AFC. That's 810 AFC. That will get you 10% off your AFC Championship game tickets, as well as 10% off the VIP tailgate passes. Let's hear from the podium today. A little bit of Dave Tobe talking about Kadarius Toney. He was asked what it is about Toney that makes him a threat as a punt returner.
I think the thing that kind of goes, I mean, it's being noticed now is that how strong he is. I mean, and the guys get a hold of him, they get a grip on him, and he can run through tackles, and he's tough, and he's a tough runner. So I know when he gets a chance, when he gets a breakaway run, you know, on a punt return, he's going to make somebody pay, you know, and I just feel like it's coming.
Yeah.
That scares you how, Curtis?
It's because he's already fumbled this year once. They cannot afford any turnovers on Sunday.
He's clearly thinking about the big return. That's what's a little scary. But listen, maybe it's what they need. Maybe they'll need it because Pat's not at full strength. Maybe that's exactly what they need. Speaking of which, can he throw on the roam? Mahomes was asked if he could throw effectively off the run.
Obviously, I feel like I can still do a lot of things, but it's gonna. We'll see as we get closer and closer, and we'll see during the game. I mean, you can't fully do exactly what you're going to be in those moments in the game, but all I can do is prepare myself the best way possible, and then when we get in the game, you hope adrenaline kind of takes over, and you can make those throws when you need to.
He says he can do it. I guess I'll take his word for it.
It's a rough spot to be in. If you practice that play, you don't want to aggravate something, but at some point, I think instinct will take over, and he'll be put in a spot where he ends up testing it whether he wanted to or not.
Yeah, it's going to be important for him to either be able to find somebody quick, shuffle his feet, but I don't think you're going to see him making big-time plays on the run. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll give you the kicker.
We're almost done for the day, but there's just a few more things we'd like to share.
But there's still more.
Here's the kicker.
Here's the kicker of this whole thing.
On the program.
But first, the good sense, end of the hour answer. What team has played in the most conference championship games without a win? It is the Jets. They are 0-4, losing in 82, 98, 09, and 10. Their one Super Bowl appearance was when they were in the AFL, not the AFC.
So they have not played. I see. I get it. I get where you're going. They've never won it.
Sneaky.
Pretty sneaky there, Kay. Pretty sneaky. Good Sense we were playing for. GoodSenseSubs.com. Get you some on your way home. Founded in Lenexa, Kansas, local company. Get 10% back with that loyalty club. If you're not part of the loyalty club, you're missing out. The meats, the cheeses, that's sliced right there, right in front of you when they order it. When you order it, the bread, they bake that fresh twice each day, pillowy soft. Great bread at Good Sense. It's a great sandwich. Get you a big old 16-inch sub on your way home tonight. Go to GoodSenseSubs.com. I'll leave you with this about Dan Quinn staying with the Cowboys, turning down head coaching offers from the Broncos, or at least after interviewing with, I shouldn't say he's offered, but he interviewed with the Broncos, Cardinals, and Colts. Quote, unfinished business here in Dallas. My complete focus is helping the team play championship ball in 23. How bad is your gig if somebody is yanking their name out?
It ain't good. It ain't the hot restaurant, the hot restaurant in town or the hot club in town.
He's not still getting buyout money from Atlanta by now, is he?
No, that has to come and gone. And that would have been offset, too, by his salary. You know, he'd have been getting extra off his salary as defensive coordinator. But, I mean, think about this. Like, you have a guy. You know, the Carolina Panthers filled their job, but that wasn't one of the ones he interviewed for. They took Frank Reich, which I think is a smart move to get an offensive guy to work with whatever quarterback they're invariably going to take. I would always hire an offensive coordinator unless I could get a Mike Tomlin or something like that. But even then, even more so, like, I think you got to have the guy that can coach the quarterbacks and isn't going to be leaving in a couple of years. But maybe Dan Quinn's the first guy to recognize, I don't need to be the top dog. I don't need to go try to fix the mess that is, you know,
all three of those franchises.
Yeah. I don't need to deal with Jim Irsay. I don't need to deal with the Bidwells, some super wealthy guy. I don't know how he is with the Broncos, but I got to deal with Russell Wilson. No, I'll pass. I'll stay out of the head cases. I'll stay over here where the bullets are flying at Mike McCarthy and just look like a hero with the best edge rusher and a top corner. I don't know. I'm all good right here. That says a little something about the teams that are trying to do the hiring.
Yep.
Our thanks to our friends here at Tickets for Less. Use that code.